We'll read Isaiah 25 and the first four verses of chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 24 is a chapter where the Lord pronounces his judgment on the wicked and the unbelieving world. And chapter 25 is a testimony of the Lord's care for his people. And so let's read, beginning at verse 1 of chapter 25. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things. Your counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. For you have made of a city an heap, of a defense city a ruin, a palace of strangers to be no city. It shall never be built. Therefore shall the strong people glorify you. The city of the terrible nations or terrifying nations shall fear you. For you have been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. You shall bring down the noise of strangers, as the heat in a dry place, even the heat with the shadow of a cloud. The branch of the terrible ones shall be brought low. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebukes of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. For in this mountain shall the hand of the Lord rest, and Moab shall be trodden down under him, even as straw is trodden down for the dunghill. And he shall spread forth his hands in the midst of them, as he that swims spreads forth his hands to swim. And he shall bring down their pride together with the spoils of their hands. And the fortress of the high fort of your walls shall he bring down, lay low, and bring to the ground, even to the dust. In that day, this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation who keeps the truth may enter in. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. So far the scriptures, and we want to focus especially on verse 4. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Beloved congregation, we have this morning an extra special service and an extra special day, actually, all day today, as along with the preached word, we have the privilege of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. In preaching the word this morning, I invite you to consider with me one particular word especially. It's the word, the gospel adjective, everlasting. You find it in the text in Isaiah 26, verse 4, where there is this encouraging exhortation given to God's people. Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. What is this concept and promise of everlasting strength? What do you know that is everlasting in our world today? Literally, the phrase in our text, everlasting strength, can be translated, the Lord is an ageless rock, or an eternal rock. And with rock there being figurative, for in him we find everlasting support and defense in all our ways and needs. In the context of Isaiah 25 into chapter 26, the prophet Isaiah is praising God for his wonderful care and protection of his people over against the enemy nations around them. Thinking of God's deliverances from the Assyrians and the Moabites and the Babylonians. And ultimately we know, don't we, this text is in reference to deliverance from the curse and the bondage and punishment of sin through the almighty deliverance of the Lord, as will be revealed in Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. Through Jesus' redeeming work as Savior, what salvation and escape from trouble, from our enemies, from terror, from sin and evil we may find. Doesn't verse 8 of chapter 25 sound almost like a New Testament gospel verse? Speaking of God's help for his people, we read there, he, meaning the Lord, will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe all tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. One commentator said, well, quote, behind the beauty and glory of the blessings herein described, there stands the cross of Calvary and Jesus resurrected from the dead as victorious Savior and captain of our salvation. Yes, your congregation belonging to Christ, with the Lord God as finally and most fully revealed in the crucified and risen Savior, Jesus Christ, we may find everlasting strength. Jesus is like the rock of ages, the everlasting rock to rely on, indeed, in all our needs, for all the days of our life here on earth. As God would so encourage his people already in the Old Testament times, let us look to be encouraged by this truth of our text this morning in our New Testament times. In the light of the full gospel, let's study for a little while just the gospel adjective, especially everlasting. And take note with me on the following, how this gospel adjective is truly so scriptural, so serious, and so splendid. That the adjective everlasting is so scriptural, let me ask you this, isn't this word almost only a scriptural term? I mean, we don't hear it in use much, do we, in everyday language and life? You don't see many products advertised as being of everlasting quality and value, do you? Our food has always on it, food items, best before, and it may be a few months, maybe a half a year, maybe a couple years. I found out recently even car seats for children have dates that they are good till. After a few years, you got to get rid of them because they're out of date. They're no good anymore. I don't know what's wrong with them, but they're no good anymore. But listen, the Bible includes the adjective everlasting to its teaching. Everlasting. And other English words comparable to it that go along with it are the words eternal and forever, and forevermore. Some have said the word everlasting is not quite the right translation of the original words in the Hebrew and Greek. But those words refer more to an outflowing and overflowing that seems limitless. Well, the word everlasting does reflect something of that. And to be honest, the word is somewhat mysterious. We can't totally grasp it. It's beyond us somewhat. Yet, everlasting strength speaks of strength, doesn't it? That never ceases, but always keeps being strong on our behalf. And the Lord being of an eternal rock of refuge for his people suggests a place of safety from the storm that is always steadfast and a safe place for us when we look to him. The word everlasting speaks of something or someone that never ceases to be there for us It's a continual reality without end. Here it is helpful and encouraging, at least I found it, so to think of other words similar to the meaning of everlasting. Can you think of some synonyms? Other words like everlasting with somewhat the same meaning? What about the words when I Googled this question, like abiding? With him is abiding strength, or eternal, or immortal, or lasting, or perpetual, timeless, unending, constant, permanent, boundless, ceaseless, continual, continuous, deathless, endless, imperishable, indestructible, limitless, termless, unceasing, undying, uninterrupted, unremitting, enduring. Now just consider this when using all these words to describe the everlasting strength and salvation and support and help for us found with God, especially as Savior of sinners, for you and for me. With the Lord of the Bible as our trust, when He's your trust, yours and mine by God's grace and Spirit, this God's people may know, also here this morning, we have everlasting deliverance and refuge in all our needs for soul and body, meaning abiding, eternal, immortal, lasting, perpetual, timeless, unending, constant, permanent, boundless, ceaseless, continual, continuous, deathless, endless, imperishable, incessant, indestructible, limitless, termless, unceasing, undying, uninterrupted, unremitted, enduring, saving help for us. And if we would just think of the opposite of everlasting, it becomes even more great. It stands out even more. Opposite to everlasting are words like what? Something we would say that is brief, or temporary, or fleeting, or transient, or ceasing, or terminating, or provisional, or passing, or only for a short while. But is that what describes the Lord's help and mercy and blessing for His people, as many as trust and call on Him? No, no. The strength and salvation of the Lord for His people is everlasting. It's not just for a brief time, or temporarily, or for fleeting time, or a transient matter, or something that is soon terminating, or somehow provisional and just a passing thing for a short while. No. Listen. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. To glory more in how this gospel adjective, everlasting, is so scriptural, let me mention some other ways it is used in the Bible. Or I should say, other nouns it describes for us. God Himself is described, as the elder of service read this morning, the everlasting God. In Psalm 90 and also in Isaiah and many places. He's the everlasting God who is out to give His people an everlasting possession. Genesis 17:8. And with Him as revealed in Christ Jesus is granted to us an everlasting priesthood. Exodus 40:15. And with Him we find mercy everlasting and an everlasting righteousness. The Lord leads in the way everlasting. There are a whole bunch more texts I have here. With the Lord, I won't mention the text, but with the Lord is found for us, for those who trust and follow Him, everlasting kindness, everlasting salvation, everlasting foundation, everlasting joy, everlasting light, everlasting love, everlasting life. And He has given us, we read in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 16, everlasting consolation. Similarly, with the Lord is found for us, eternal redemption, and the same word is everlasting in the original, and the promise of eternal inheritance, and eternal glory, and eternal excellency. And remember, again, the words used here are the same as everlasting in the original. Well, I ask you then, Where can such treasure of eternal, everlasting blessings of endless value be known and received except as revealed in the Scriptures and with the God of our salvation, the Lord God Jehovah? Truly the Lord is the covenant keeping I am that I am God, Exodus 3:14. The one true God, triune God, who is from everlasting to everlasting and who makes himself most fully known to us in the person and work of Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. And listen again to our text from Isaiah 26:4. Trusting in him, we find, you find, I find, everlasting strength. Ageless reliability, you might say. Unceasing resourcefulness of salvation. Shouldn't this truth draw and attract us all to Christ the Savior? This morning, the Lord sets before us the sacrament of Holy Supper in our midst to strengthen his people with the promised reality of his salvation riches and the gracious gospel truth that he all is and provides for his people. He provides treasures of everlasting quality and value. Treasures like forgiveness of sins, perfect righteousness imputed to us, the gift of eternal life. These are everlasting blessings from God. It's not temporary or just for a short while or for a season only, but forever and forevermore for all who trust the Lord. If you want safety and blessing now and forever, you and I and all people need to build on the eternal rock of ages. For apart from him, oh, apart from him, the word everlasting, instead of being a comforting word, is the most dreadful word to consider. Therefore, this verse you see, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord, Jehovah, is everlasting strength. Well, here we come to our second point. The word everlasting is a gospel adjective, so scriptural, not only, but notice next, it's so serious too, so serious. Isn't it serious when you think about it and just take stock of the fact that we are of ourselves fleeting and passing? We are weakening by the day as time goes on. The flow of our lives as fallen sinners by nature doesn't lead to everlasting life. But as the years go by, we all do fade away and eventually die. We read in Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto all men once to die, and after this, the judgment. In Ecclesiastes 3:11, we are told God has placed eternity in our hearts. And in the Hebrew, it's the same word as translated everlasting in Isaiah 26:4. He's planted everlasting, something everlasting in our human minds and hearts. We are all born, in other words, with this inescapable reality of a God-given sense of the everlasting nature of our lives, and that we will all end up in one of two places, either in everlasting hell or everlasting heaven. No one can simply wipe out this solemn reality of the adjective everlasting in relation to God, our Maker and Judge. The wages of sin is death on our own, even eternal death, which we justly deserve for our rebellion against God. But the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so even this adjective, everlasting, it's a gospel adjective in calling us, not only comforting us, but in calling us to turn from sin and trust and obey the Savior, Jesus Christ. And here it's right that having mentioned to you the word everlasting with all kinds of other nouns in connection with Christ the Savior, we need also to listen to some of the other nouns in the Bible with the descriptive adjective everlasting and eternal before it apart from Christ. The Bible speaks of everlasting chains for the wicked and unbelieving. Jude verse 6. Everlasting fire. Matthew 18. At least three texts in that chapter. and everlasting punishment, Matthew 25, and everlasting confusion, Jeremiah 20, and everlasting burnings, and a blackness of darkness forever, we read in Jude, for the wicked and unbelieving. Well, do you know this? And do you take this to heart? That there's no such thing as temporary punishment or short-term fire and just a quickly passing hell or a brief condemnation and judgment for all who live and die outside of Christ. No. But that suffering and punishment for the wicked and unbelieving is everlasting too. Meaning it's never ending. It's continual. It's permanent. It's perpetual. It's without let up forever and ever. And most clearly in John 3:36, we read this in the New Testament, he that believes on the Son has everlasting life, but he that believes not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides or remains on him. Yes, even for eternity. If there's no repentance and faith now in this life, in this time of grace. But here let's ask the question, why? I mean, why does believing in Jesus make so much difference, and indeed all the difference? And what's the answer? You know it, don't you? It's because Jesus Christ is the one and only God-given Savior of sinners. And do you know what he suffered and what he endured to save his people from their sins? He suffered the equivalent of the righteous, everlasting wrath of God for sin that we deserve. Isn't this what we see most fully on the cross of Calvary? When Jesus, as the just for the unjust, bore the full punishment of sin that belongs to us. On the cross, you know, the weight of the eternal punishment for sin was put upon him. And in agony from body and soul, he bore that punishment to the end. And isn't this also what the Lord's Supper sacrament visibly and vividly pictures before us? As the Bible-based form, we read from it with each Lord's Supper states, Jesus suffered for his people the wrath of God under which we should have perished everlastingly. Yes, and by his sin-atoning death and shedding of his blood, the new and eternal testament, that covenant of grace and reconciliation when he said, it is finished, is now the gracious, glorious portion of all his people who trust and follow him. And the broken bread and the poured out wine is in remembrance, isn't it, of this Christ, the crucified and risen Savior. And we come rightly to the table when we come in faith and repentance to feed on him and to express he alone is our only and everlasting refuge from all sin and evil. As we read even in Isaiah 25, verse 5 and 6, while the wicked are brought low and down to defeat and eternal doom, God's people, they may feast and they may rejoice in their eternal salvation through their Savior God. For those who trust the Lord as revealed in Christ, the Savior of sinners, is found everlasting salvation and strength. I don't know about you, but I sure need everlasting salvation and strength, or I'm undone forever. But it's found with him. Hallelujah. This is life eternal or life everlasting, Jesus says in John 17, verse 3, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. It is a solemn matter, though, a serious matter, we each need to consider, namely, our relationship with the Lord Jesus. If you are here not yet found trusting and following him, still unconverted and unbelieving, then you need to realize the gospel adjective everlasting is a call for you to wake up and to escape from the eternal wrath of God to come. Yes, flee to Christ now for refuge, while it is yet the day of grace. How many just scoff at this, I know. They turn around and say, this is a bunch of nonsense. But you won't do that, will you? We read in Acts 13:46, Paul says to the unbelieving Jews, the unbelieving, unconverted covenant people, you judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life? Well, we'll go to the Gentiles then. Don't be those who judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. You may have it in Christ and through Christ. Oh, that God, the Holy Spirit, might use just this one word, this gospel adjective, everlasting, this service, to bring one or more, even from the children and youth, to true conversion here today. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Everlasting, indeed, beyond words to tell. And here, think with me further yet, on our last point, on this gospel adjective, everlasting, how it's not only so scriptural and so serious, but splendid, so splendid. Imagine, everlasting strength and help and refuge and support, everlasting divine arms underneath you and around you at all times in life and death and forevermore. Is that not all splendid and spectacular and so endlessly comforting and wonderful to believe and to experience? Oh, the Lord knows our frame, and how sometimes, maybe often even, we can be doubting, we can be struggling in the faith. Do you not ask sometimes, when discouraged with yourself or with life, Lord, is the gospel way really the way of everlasting life and joy and peace and comfort and salvation? Is your way everlasting for real? Also, in our troubled, confused 21st century world, while the Lord instituted the Lord's Supper for His struggling and needy, believing people here on earth. Also, when you may be struggling with, but Lord, is there enough everlasting grace for a sinner like me? There is, for all who look to Him. And the Lord's Supper is meant to remind us with visible sign and seal of the gospel promises about His everlasting treasures, only always for Jesus' sake alone. At the table, the host there is the ascended Savior Himself. And He says to His people who come to His table in faith as confessing Christians, with me and my once for all sacrifice for sin, with me, the everlasting Savior on the highest throne, with the everlasting Father approving of me, having sent me even, and the everlasting Spirit anointing me and proclaiming me to the ends of the earth. Listen, you can be so sure, trusting and following me, and always relying on me and serving me, you will never be put to shame. As Paul says in 1 Timothy 6:16, Christ Jesus is the exalted, triumphant Savior, Lord over all, quote, to whom be honor and power everlasting. The fullness of how splendid the gospel adjective everlasting truly is cannot be fully known in this life, can it, by any of us? But for all God's people, we will know it and experience it forevermore in the life to come. The aim of this sermon is that all true Christians be so encouraged with the adjective everlasting already now, and to anticipate with joy its fuller experience in the eternal world to come. There's nothing everlasting about us in ourselves, is there? There's nothing everlasting in this world, certainly not everlasting good. But with the Lord is everlasting blessing. God saves His people freely and fully, as many as come to Him by His Spirit and Word, with an everlasting salvation. And He gives us everlasting life. And He leads His people in everlasting mercy and in everlasting love to His everlasting home, where we will have everlasting joy and peace and possession and purpose forevermore. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever, is the doxology with which Paul ends the gospel book of Romans, where he explains the whole gospel. And he ends with saying, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever, for everlasting. You can count on Him. Yes, for this is the everlasting God's gospel promise, still holding true in all generations till the last day, as we have it in our text, Isaiah 26, verse 4. Oh, hear one and all, hear the word of the Lord. while the unbelieving enemies of God are put down and away to everlasting doom. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Will you come as confessing Christian in remembrance and reliance upon this Savior, Jesus Christ, to his table? Jesus sealed his gospel word with his once for all everlasting sacrifice for sin and his once for all everlasting resurrection from the dead to obtain everlasting redemption and everlasting righteousness and everlasting glory even for such everlastingly undeserving sinners like you and like me. If we understand the gospel adjective everlasting, just this word, so scriptural and splendid and so serious, shouldn't it lead us each in the way everlasting? Amen.